It's my great pleasure to welcome the next speaker, who is Karen Carneal-Tambor, who's the head of investment research at Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund with $160 billion in institutional investments. And Karen oversees 150 investment professionals. Welcome, Karen. Great to see you again.
Great to be here.
So Karen's going to present today on her thoughts around integrating sustainability into portfolio construction, and importantly, how to consider this issue of impact alongside risk and return. And then we're going to come back for some Q&A. So over to you to present, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Let me start by just taking a minute and talking about what we mean when we talk about impact in public markets. I'd start by saying impact is just having an effect on any real world outcomes. And as investors, everybody listening in, we all have a lot of impact, a lot of effects on the real world, whether we intend to or not. And we have impact in a lot of multidimensional ways that we often don't quantify or even acknowledge. And having the conversation on impact is really about prioritizing this question, really about pausing to think about all the multidimensional ways that we can have impact. And this shift from thinking about investments just in risk and return to actually thinking about risk, return, and impact in a three-dimensional way is in many ways a revolution in an investment approach. None of us can really imagine what our investing would be like if we didn't think about risk. We have thought about risk for so many years and in so many ways. We've talked about the challenges with different risk management measurements, why something like volatility is very far from a perfect risk measure, how to think about issues like tail risks or COVARs. And it's so ingrained in how we make investment decisions. The shift to thinking about impact is really as big of a revolution because it means thinking about impact as rigorously and as thoughtfully and as deeply as we're used to thinking about risk and returns. With all the complexity, with all the different measurements, prioritizing this question about how to think about impact from different perspectives. And just like risk or return, thinking about it from the perspective of all of our investments, top down, our whole portfolio, thinking about that in a scalable way and being able to look at the whole portfolio and say, I'm going to look at it, risk, return, and impact, and answer the questions of why I hold what I do from all of these perspectives. And the first question that really needs to be asked is, for every relevant asset that I buy, what could impact mean? In other words, what are the relevant real world outcomes that I might want to affect? What are the relevant real world outcomes that are actually represented in the investment that I'm making? So if I'm thinking about a company, most fundamentally, the company is doing things. It is creating products or goods or services. What are those? And what kind of effects do they have on the world? And then what's the business behavior in making those products and goods and services? How is it affecting the world around it as it goes about kind of doing its business? If I'm thinking about buying a government bond, I'm thinking about that sovereign that I'm giving money to. What are the outcomes in that country? And at the same time, what are the actions or commitments that that sovereign is taking to try to shift whatever the outcomes are that exist in the real world? That's the money that they're going to use to do it, the money that they're raising in the capital markets. And if I'm investing in commodities, I'm thinking about questions like, well, when I'm getting those commodities out of the ground, what's that like? Is that sustainable? What are the effects of that on the real world? And when I'm using the commodity, utilizing it in the real world, what are the effects of that? That sort of framework that starts with just saying, what kind of impact do I hope to have? What are the relevant questions I want to ask about how I want to affect the world with the investment that I'm making? Then leads me to be able to know, what do I want to measure? What data is now relevant? And how do I end up with having some form of an assessment that I can actually make? I show here for each one of the asset classes in a very illustrative way, ending up with some kind of assessment that says, what are the assets that are most extreme, have the most positive assessment in terms of the impact that they're having on the world versus the ones that are more neutral versus the ones that are negative. Once I've figured out what questions I want to ask, I can go figure out how to measure that, how to systemize that, how to triangulate it across lots of different data sources. And most importantly, back to this concept that I now have three-dimensional investing, I can actually answer the question of why do I hold something from an impact perspective. We're all used to answering the question, why do you hold this asset from a return and a risk perspective? I'm holding this because I think it'll do well. I'm holding it because it's diversifying. Here's how I'm thinking about its return. This is a way of answering that question about impact as well, and giving it just as much credence and importance when we build our portfolios and choose our investments. To quickly run through an example in each of the asset classes, let's go back to equities and think about companies. So I have all the companies in the world. And if I just hold all the companies that exist sort of in a, you know, market-weighted way, if I then look at what are those companies doing in the world, and I did this here from an SDG lens, how are they contributing to each of the major SDGs? You find sort of trivial amounts of your capital are going towards companies that maybe are providing clean water or providing education or making progress against poverty. But I could shift to hold stocks that are much more the companies that do that sort of work. And I can also look at their behavior and how they do it. So for example, I could look at a case study like a utilities company and say, this is a company that provides water and water services to 50 million customers. So all of its revenue, all of its actual activities and products and services are aligned with contributing to clean water and sanitation in the world. And the way it does it, its behavior is relative to a utility. It actually does it in a much less carbon intensive way. And the carbon intensity is falling through time. So it's making progress on making that a more sustainable way of providing a sustainable service. That'd be an example of how you might measure a company. In the bond market, I might look at all the governments in the world and tilt towards governments that are making more progress against the SDGs, look at their outcomes, like are they today the less carbon intensive economies, but maybe more importantly, their actions and commitments. Are they currently subsidizing fossil fuels or trying to cut them out? What kind of progress are they actually making? And in commodities, I can kind of map all the commodities in the world against their how sustainable their consumption and production is, and pick up any commodity and say, what's it like when I'm getting it out of the ground? I could do this either on a particular mine or on a mining company or on a commodity as a whole. What's it like when I'm getting it out of the ground? How sustainable is that process? And then what's it being used for? For example, if we really want to be serious about transitioning the world away from carbon, we need a whole lot of industrial commodities to actually build those electric vehicles, to actually build the electricity infrastructure, to actually build the charging infrastructure. So if that's what I'm using the commodities for, that makes a big difference relative to if I'm utilizing fossil fuels, for example. And then I can go across my whole portfolio and look across all the things that I hold and ask the question about any particular thing I care about in the world, what is the impact like of my portfolio? So in this case, we showed climate change because I saw that in one of the surveys you had, about 80% of you said that's the number one sustainability issue for your portfolios. And this lets you cut across everything you hold and basically apply the lens relevant to that asset class and say, how should I think about impact related to climate change for whatever I'm holding? So I could look at my stocks and basically look at what are the emissions that are happening in those companies? What are the products they're providing? Or after the fact, what are their revenues want to actually adjust them for if tomorrow we went and charged real money against the environmental damage that's being done, how much would their profitability drop? I could look at my governments and say, am I providing my sovereign bond funding to governments that are putting real money into, say, environmental R&D spending that'll help us move forward better, or into ones that are making progress on emissions intensity and have made more significant progress than others. And on commodities, I can direct towards ones where these are the commodities that we need to be investing in to get out of the ground as cleanly and as well as possible in order to actually transition our economy away from carbon. This would be the lens on something like climate change, but this is a lens you could take on any problem that you want to have an impact in the real world on. You could do this on issues of poverty, of labor rights. I could keep listing biodiversity. Most importantly is to come back and say, what are the impacts in the world that I care about having? And what are the intended and second order consequences that can come from prioritizing impact as highly as I do risk and return? And then what are the most relevant issues for every asset that I'm holding in terms of how to measure that? Now, I should pause and say it's absolutely a journey because all of these measurements are very much in their infancy, like we were risk measurements many, many years ago. We've come very, very far in measuring risk from a lot of multidimensional perspectives and being able to answer any question on risk really well. But it's a journey that is accelerating very fast as lots of investors are choosing to make that priority and say, this is really going to be a third dimension that I pay as much attention to as risk and return. And I think we will get together in a few years in this in this conference again, we'll be seeing a whole other level of being able to measure these impacts from different perspectives and to actually report on and explain both why we hold assets that we do from an impact perspective and after the fact, the impact that we had by making those choices.
Thanks very much for those introductory remarks. A couple of things I want to talk about. It's interesting to talking about impact in this way. So there's sort of almost two elements of it. There's the element of creating the positive impact, but then there's also the element of managing the negative impact. So it's sort of a, in that way, there's sort of two elements to it that might come out in these questions. A lot of what you're talking about, as you mentioned, relies on data. So can you talk a little bit about where you're getting that data from? How can investors actually get reliable data? And this is a conversation we're having a lot around this conference is, you know, where's the data coming from? How do you know it's reliable?
The data world has really accelerated very significantly in the last few years as investors have demanded it. So I would say that, you know, people listening to this conference are making the difference to create the data ecosystem by demanding it and saying, these are the questions I need to answer. When we went about making our own assessments, we probably evaluated 45 data providers and picked maybe 5 or 10 to work with. But the biggest point of evaluation was basically, are they actually answering the questions that we want to answer? Are they actually going after the questions and the topics that we think are important in terms of measuring impact? And as more and more investors say, these are the questions I want answered, the data will get better and better. The next thing I would say is triangulation is critical. There's too many ways to go and have, you know, kind of personal opinions and, you know, kind of poor methodologies seep into what you're measuring. And so whatever data it is you choose, triangulate, try to have at least, you know, 2 or 3 reads on everything that you're trying to do, because none of us are going to have in our organizations the true expertise on every one of these topics to just trust our own read of the data on our own. And we've so far found that finding 2 or 3 triangulated data points can be done in almost all the topics that we're looking to get at.
I mean, on that point, what happens when there is a tension between the data and you know, maybe they're telling you 2 different things? So that's one element of it. What also happens when you might be wanting to concurrently measure 2 different impacts that then point you in 2 different directions, but you want to have impact in, you know, both, say, gender and climate, but they're telling you 2 different things in terms of how you put the portfolio together. How do you manage that?
Well, one of the things that's been really interesting in our journey is seeing that most of us in certain types of assets are very over-diversified. We don't need to hold every company to have a very diversified set of equities. And so a choice investors can make is saying, actually, I'm gonna hold fewer companies and I'm gonna only hold the ones where I have a really great triangulated view. And that'll serve as a great incentive for lots of companies to know that's the bar and just set the bar really high. With equities, you can really do that because the marginal impacts of diversification by adding a few more are usually quite low. But that's really the question investors need to ask, which is, if the data points are not triangulating, do I want to hold a really, really high bar and can I afford to in terms of my risk return and diversification impacts I'm having? You might have a real impact on the world by holding that high bar. Can I find a third data point that helps me deal with, you know, the mismatch? Or do I want to, you know, even by thinking about impact and having things that clear some bar, you're still, you know, making progress while not thinking about it at all. Those are all choices investors need to make and look a little bit different in every asset class.
I might come back to that diversification point. I want to talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, I want to just ask the audience a poll question, and it's quite simple. Are you pursuing impact in your portfolios? And there's a couple of different answers. Yes, in a small part of the portfolio. Yes, in one asset class, but not others. Yes, in more than half my portfolio. Yes, in my whole portfolio, or no. So we'll just put that question out there to the audience while we keep talking, Karen. But, you know, Bridgewater has talked about diversification since the dawn of time, and particularly so in this low return, high risk environment, you know, looking for geographical diversification, sector diversification, asset class diversification. And in this context, you know, you mentioned that diversification might be a cost to the approach. Can you expand a little bit more on that? I mean, you say that in equities in particular, most investors are over diversified, but by concentrating their portfolio, there is potentially a cost in that risk return profile. Can you expand a little bit on how you're managing that with this 3-pronged approach?
Absolutely. Let me make a contrast, for example, between equities and commodities, which is when we see investors holding commodities, they're usually extremely concentrated and not diversified. They hold oil more than any other commodity. And even if you weren't thinking about impact, you'd probably want to be a lot more diversified than you are. And even if you didn't care about impact, you'd say, well, oil has a lot of idiosyncratic risk. If the world transitions more quickly away from carbon, there are all these things. Why would you want to hold just one commodity? And you might say, I want to hold other commodities that also give me exposure to this world that we're in, where there are a lot of policies to drive the real economy to accelerate. And commodities are a great way to have exposure to the potential inflationary impacts of that. And then when you're thinking about from an impact lens, there are a lot of commodities that need to be kind of ramped up while carbons are phased out. So if you're really going to be serious about phasing out carbon, you're going to need things like copper and aluminum. So there, actually, by moving towards impact, you're probably getting a lot more diversified. You're probably under diversified today and have a lot of idiosyncratic risk related to oil. In comparison, in stocks, you know, at some point we did this experiment where we said, if we just pick our top 50 companies that we like best on impact, how much do we lose out on diversification? Obviously, we would never tell anybody to only hold 50 companies. That's a very extreme case. But just to look at it, just for the thought experiment, pick your best 50 companies. And the answer is, you're not really losing much, because stocks have so many correlated exposures across the different stocks that even 50 diversified stocks that you really think have great impact, you end up with a really great risk return profile, and you're only helping in marginally when you add more. So there, you know, shifting towards more impact, chances are you're not paying almost anything in terms of diversification. So that's why it needs to be examined at that level and depending on where your starting point is. So, I should also add that the most important diversification investors can have at this point is thinking about, as you're saying, what are the types of environments I'm not well diversified towards? And when I think about what most investors are missing in their portfolio, there are many great options to add that have both great diversification impact and good impact on the world.
So as you're doing scenario analysis, we'd be looking at a 1.5 to 3 degree world environment, for example, when measuring the impact scenarios. Is that the type of analysis that you're doing?
Yeah, I think that for each asset class, we want to ask ourselves what is relevant in terms of how that asset kind of interacts with the world. So for example, that world, that type of analysis you're describing about, you know, how much warmer the world will be, probably is most directly applicable to something like commodities, where we really look and say, well, how much copper would it take to actually shift to a world where there is only 1 degree warming? That's a relevant scenario to have in mind in figuring out what kind of exposure you might want to that sort of commodity. In contrast, how much oil would have to be left in the ground rather than pumped out to get to that level. But there are a lot of other impact areas where investors may care about, like issues of poverty or providing clean water and sanitation. And so holistically, we found the Sustainable Development Goals to be a really strong framework of being able to think about all of your portfolio in that multidimensional way and hit on a wide range of what investors really care about in terms of having impact. And we found that if you look at any asset from the perspective of all the Sustainable Development Goals, you do a pretty good job hitting a wide range of how it might contribute in the ways you care about most.
Karen, I'll just give you the results of the poll. So the overwhelming answer with 38% is yes in a small part of the portfolio, so yeah, less than 5%. 38% of the audience is already pursuing impact. The next is yes in more than half of my portfolio, 25% of answers. Yes in my whole portfolio, 19%. And then no, 13%. And yes in one asset class is 6%. So it sounds like that there's already some action there. Just want to talk a little bit more about this diversification. Clear that you're saying different asset classes are different. But back to equities, are there sector implications? You know, you've already said that you can give up a little bit of diversification in stocks, but are there sector implications when looking at particular impacts that investors should be interested in?
There are some. What I would say is that a lot of the equity indices out there that try to achieve quote unquote ESG goals often actually go into it saying, we're going to demand that the sector mix stays exactly the same as the market. And so you end up with these indices that look almost identical to the market because they've pre-specified a lot of rules to keep them looking as close to the market as possible. Our view is that's way too much limiting your impact before you even know if you have a problem or you've gone too far. So we've built an equity index that pursues the SDG goals without consideration to that and put in much more back-end checks to say how much of a sector tilt would you be uncomfortable with, how much is too much, rather than kind of starting out with that assumption. And what we found is that the type of sector tilts that you get are, I'd say, in the scope of relatively minor to the degree that when you're just passively investing, the sectors are changing on you all the time. There are constantly shifts between exactly, you know, kind of how big each country's market cap is, how big each sector's market cap is. That's happening to you kind of whether you notice it or not. And those effects that we barely talk about probably have a bigger effect on how biased your portfolio is than pursuing impact.
There's a question from the audience, Karen. Can you give any insight into how you quantify non-numerical issues to use as data for ESG? Do you incorporate qualitative research and metrics in your evaluations?
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, for us, the most important thing is finding a way to turn whatever it is that we're thinking, whatever it is that we're weighing, into something that can be applied systematically across thousands of securities to matter at the portfolio level. And so what I would say is, it really matters if a qualitative assessment is really important in your assessment of whether you want to hold something. But if you can only make that qualitative assessment about one company, it can only have so much impact in your portfolio because that's just as big as it can be. So what we really try to do is say, what's really happening in that qualitative assessment? What will be the best way to scale that up, make it more binary, more measurable, something that we can actually apply to thousands of companies at once, and try to get as much as we can of that piece in order to not limit it to just be relevant to whatever that person is thinking. The second is we're very nervous about the biases that come from qualitative assessments. And so the more qualitative the assessment, the more we really care about triangulation and getting multiples. And so having multiple people or data providers or whatnot make that assessment so that we're not as subject to whatever biases of whatever mood the person was in that day, how he felt about the management team, whatever personal interactions they had.
I'm going to ask another poll question and then we've got a couple more questions to close out, Karen. What most stands in your way to pursue more impact through your portfolio of public market assets? And there's five different answers there, which I won't read out now, but I'll read them out when the answers come through. Just want to come to this point, Karen. It seems that, you know, almost anything is possible with what you're talking about. So are these going to be highly customized portfolios that you can do for your clients? How are you approaching the kind of anything is possible question?
Well, so far, we felt that the best approach is to have portfolios that are aligned to the sustainable development goals largely at large. And that while different clients have different emphases of which goals they're most interested in, they've rarely wanted to shift all the way to say, I just want a portfolio that does poverty and I don't care about climate because the issues are so interconnected. That could change in the future. But what I've been finding is that as I look at the SDG lens and then say, okay, yes, I built this portfolio with an SDG lens, but let me just look at climate or let me just look at labor. What comes out the other end is still very strong alignment and impact. So I think that is a really strong framework that the UN did, and they did a really great job with all the consultations and people they brought in to create it, and that the issues are interconnected and that you actually feel like you're addressing it better by looking at the SDGs as a whole. But you're right, anything is possible. And my guess is that we're going to have a lot more customization, not on which goals to pursue, that'll stay the SDGs, but on how it applies to investors' portfolios. Are they starting out with a portfolio that really needs an equity index or really needs, you know, protection against rising inflation? Or what are the investors' issues in terms of risk and return? I think it's actually going to deviate more widely than people's views on impact.
Karen, we mentioned at the outset that you head up Bridgewater's investment research. You've got 150 investment research professionals working with you, and you also head up the sustainability investing area at Bridgewater. What are some of the exciting frontier research opportunities that you're looking at? What are some of the kind of like fringe ideas that you and your team are kind of assessing now?
Well, one of the really exciting things is just how quickly this field is evolving. So I will say a couple of things we're very excited about. We're very excited about getting impact measurements that are really of quality and tell you, just as we're very rigorously looking at the end of a year and saying, tell me in 2020, how did my portfolio perform? What were my returns? And we can do that in a very detailed level. And we talk about, you know, the volatility in different periods and how consistent the returns were, being able to do that on impact. And that ecosystem is very underdeveloped, but has tremendous potential of being able to report on that. One of the things we're really excited about is Harvard Business School's impact weighted accounts, which is a set of academics that are working on really thinking about how to do impact in the most direct way across multiple dimensions. And then I'd say everything happening with the climate transition, it is tremendous the pace at which the consensus that this is what we need to be doing is accelerating. And so we've talked a lot about the shift to a world where fiscal policy matters more than monetary policy, and fiscal policy really determines where the economy is going. I think it's underappreciated how different fiscal policy is in its ability to pick where the economy should go to actually direct the economy versus interest rates that, you know, everybody kind of responds to them as they will and chooses what to do with them. And we're seeing more and more, you know, in whether it's polling or literally the plans being put out by governments, that the sense that governments need to use that fiscal mandate to make an impact on transitioning away from carbon is just tremendous, how fast that kind of consensus has grown. And so really being deep in that research to understand how will fiscal stimulation flow through, both to matter to the economy directly and to affect these issues in particular, has been really exciting. And it's evolving very quickly, particularly the US changes in leadership here and how much Europeans are doing. It just feels like every day new impacts are being made, and that will continue being a very significant driver of both our economy and the potential to transition it.
Well, fantastic, Karen. I'll just give you the results of this last poll. So what most stands in your way to pursue more impact through your portfolio of public market assets? Probably no surprise. The biggest challenge is the availability of reliable and consistent data, with 47% of people answering that. And then spread pretty evenly over the other four answers. I worry I'll give up too much return, 16%. Other challenges, 16%. Availability of sustainable investments at scale, 15%. And then lastly, communication with members and stakeholders at around 10%. Absolutely fascinating talking with you as always, Karen. Thank you very much for sharing your insights, and look forward to catching up in another 6 months, hopefully, and seeing how rapidly this is developing and the work that you're doing at Bridgewater. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Amanda.